Good afternoon. It is Wednesday, September 22nd, 2021, 2021. I am Hank Jones. You are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports on Global Patriot Radio here at blogtalkradio.com. Every Wednesday, 5:30, we are here talking politics and sports and other stuff sometimes. We make fun of people. We support and praise people, but mostly we just make fun of them. You'll notice I've gone with a harder, grittier, edgier Hank tune at the beginning. That's the theme from Harry O. Just using it because I like it. And then I'm also, you know, knocking in the fight song, the Iowa fight song, because frankly, I'm afraid if I stop playing it, something bad will happen to the Hawkeyes. I know. Superstitious. A conservative, normal, thoughtful person, and yeah, I have superstitions about the Hawks. Yeah, I wear, depending on whether the game's home or away, it depends on what I wear for a game watch. Yeah, I know. Hey, there are other shows here on Global Patriot Radio. Every Monday, Vito and Big Al, 6 p.m., Mama Mia No Sharia. Tuesdays, Eric with Radio Free Kafiristan, also 6 o'clock. These are all Eastern times, by the way. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report, 6 o'clock. Fridays, depends on the time there, you have to check, but that's Andrew Herod with Conservative Casual Friday, a.k.a. Islam in Focus. Saturday nights from 10 to midnight, Minister Usama Daktuk and the Beautiful Christie, revealing the truth about Islam. And then Sundays at 3 o'clock, with The Cross and the Crescent, a.k.a. Real Interfaith Dialogue. If you want to contact us, email me, hjpsports@gmail.com. Go to Twitter, @hpolysports. On Facebook, just type in Hank Jones Polysports. You'll be shocked. You can call in, of course, 319-527-6706. You can come in through blogtalkradio.com. Click on the live button, look down in the bottom right for Global Patriot Radio. That's where you'll find us chatting. Yes, indeed. Of course, the best way, 319-527-6706, if you want to talk. You can listen that way as well, but if you want to talk, of course, you hit the one. Hopefully some people will be hitting the one today. Hank and the little Aussie are home, and as is my beautiful wife. Fresh off a 2-week-plus gig as mother of the bride and house sitter and pet sitter, she has returned from the beautiful but liberal state of Washington. She laughs at that. Let some prayers go out. Annie, who you see in here, Southern Sense, you know, she needs our prayers. She's gone through some tough times. Sue from New Mexico as well. They've had some issues, or, you know, tough times, I should say, be it health issues or whatever. And Jiski, he's on Friday nights and other nights as well, but Jiski with the Dave and Jiski Rock Show, he needs our prayers right now badly. So let's lift them all up in prayer. Look, prayer is powerful, and it's necessary in order to keep a relationship with God and in order to share that relationship with your family, your friends, your community. So pray for them, please, and anybody else you know. Speaking of, we have some recent obituaries. Last Wednesday, Chicago Blackhawk fans lost Lou Angotti at age 83. No cause was listed. For those of us who saw Blackhawk games at the old Chicago Stadium, oh, and kudos to all of us who survived that experience, by the way. Chants of Lou, those were not boos. Now, in later years, other players named Lou got that, but at the time it was thought that that was original. People thought there were boos. No, they were not. They were for Lou Angotti. He had two stints with the Blackhawks. Second one, he was part of two Stanley Cup Finals appearances. He ended his playing career with the Chicago Cougars of the WHA. Then he coached for several seasons before he ended his hockey career, playing career, and then became a color commentator for the Blackhawks. And last Thursday, retired actress Jane Powell passed away of natural causes at 92. Some of her films, Song of the Open Road, A Date with Judy, Holiday in Mexico, and of course, the one that probably she's best known for, made her career, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. She also played the mother of Alan Thicke's character on Growing Pains, was on several soap operas, and like any good past their prime actor or actress, she did the guest circuit on shows like The Love Boat and Fantasy Island and Hotel. Yeah, she was recently referred to as, quote, one of the last surviving stars of the golden age of Hollywood, believe it or not. Welcome our callers on 319-527-6706. See plenty of numbers on there. Welcome to the chat room, Indy Hawk KB, T. Bodie, and Vito. Vito's in listening tonight, folks, so this is your chance. If you didn't get a chance to give him grief on Monday, you can do it tonight. Former Detroit Lions and L.A. Rams defensive lineman Roger Brown passed away last Friday at age 84. No cause listed. When he was with the Lions, he played alongside Alex Karras. And then after being traded to the Rams, he became part of the original fearsome foursome, which consisted of Roger Brown, Deacon Jones, Lamar Lundy, and Merlin Olsen. That was before Rosie Grier, before Fred Dreyer. The original fearsome foursome. After retiring from football, he went into the restaurant business, including ownership of three McDonald's franchises and several sports bars and restaurants. So, hey, sounds like some people aren't hearing me. You guys hearing me? Come on, guys. Mrs. Hank hears me loud and clear. Indy Hawk says he's not hearing, but that doesn't mean anything. Vito, T-Bodie there in the chat room, that's for sure. So, Vito hears me. That's what counts, folks. Vito hears me. Mrs. Hank hears me, but she's not listening in that way. So, anyway, yeah, several McDonald's franchises and sports bars. And then, you know, we've all heard extensively about the death of Gabby Petito, or whatever her name was, after her body was discovered in the Bridger-Teton National Forest in Wyoming. She was 22, but you know what? This is sad. How has she appeared in Wikipedia and other death notices? She's listed as American Van Dweller. American Van Dweller. Seriously, that's a thing now? That's sad. It really is. It's incredibly sad. Monday, we lost retired golfer in 1951 U.S. amateur winner Billy Maxwell at age 92. Same day we also lost Sarah Dash at age 76. Now, most people won't know who Sarah Dash was, so I'll just tell you. She was in the group LaBelle, which hit it big with that song Lady Marmalade in 1975, several years before that group's namesake, Patti LaBelle, went big as a solo artist. Yesterday we lost two actors. Sex and the City's Willie Garson passed away from pancreatic cancer at age 57. And then Hawaii Five-O actor Al Harrington passed away at age 85. He had a stroke. Harrington was a Samoan American actor. He played Detective Ben Kokua in the original series. Then he actually had a recurring role in the 2010 reboot. There's now basically, I looked up, there's now officially one member of that original cast that is still alive, actress Sharon Farrell. It's kind of scary. A show that I grew up watching is almost cast-wise completely gone. For the record, it's in the chat room. Vito is not playing in the Ryder Cup for the United States team. What he didn't say, he was asked if he's representing the U.S., playing elsewhere. You just never know. So rest in peace to those that I have mentioned. Politics news and sports news mixed together. So Monday, Yahoo News ran a story of three reasons why the FDA rejected Pfizer's booster shot for the general population. And here they are. This is per Megan Fitzgerald, adjunct professor of health policy and management at Columbia University. One, she said, the evidence just wasn't there. A lot of the evidence was in that elderly population, which guided them. What the hell? You mean it's effective for the elderly, but not for others? Or they want to prioritize the elderly, or as Mrs. Hank just asked, what's elderly? Not her. She'd say me, but not her. Two, quote, the vaccines already distributed to the public have already reached public health benchmarks. Huh? What's with the demonizing of any and all people who haven't gotten a vaccine? What's with the travel bans? What's with the vaccine passports? What's with the mask mandates? Not to mention the executive order declaring vaccine mandates for certain folks. Oh, and what the hell does any of that have to do with the booster and its approval or rejection? Fitzgerald also noted that the primary objective was to prevent hospitalization and deaths, which they have done, quote, we're still seeing that north of 90% for most of the vaccine. Oh, good Lord. Why the hysteria then? Why the mixed message on the efficacy? Hell, Pfizer, the CDC, and the FDA can't even get the whole thing straight. We're supposed to believe La Dopey Nostra does have it handled. Thirdly, per Fitzgerald, another interrelated reason is the choice to place greater emphasis on vaccinating the unvaccinated populations rather than improving the immunity of those who are already vaccinated. Okay, now I officially call BS. Seriously, we're shaming the unvaccinated because they allegedly are giving it to the vaccinated. But we want to punish the unvaccinated with things like withholding health care, lockdowns, passports, masks, tests. So to punish them, we punish the vaccinated who are willing to get the booster by, of course, pushing to vaccinate those who don't or won't get it. Oh, which, by the way, is a personal choice of someone presumably over 18 who has the right to vaccinate or not vaccinate. As I said, I'm vaccinated, but as I've also said, and I will keep saying, this hasn't been about health care or public safety since the day Big Left decided they were going to monetize it, politicize it, and manipulate it for their own gain. Anyone find it interesting that both the Met Gala and the Emmy Awards, we saw no masks on the stars, celebrities, whatever, worker bees? Yeah, underlings, yeah, the rest of the great unwashed, of course, but not on the beautiful people. But hey, tax the rich. The hell do I actually know? Because I didn't watch the Emmys. And the only photo I saw from the Met Gala was AOC's dress. Frankly, other than the message, she actually didn't look, she looked pretty good in that dress. I mean, if she had taken that stuff off, it was a pretty dress. She looked pretty. Certainly nowhere as beautiful as my wife and her dress at our daughter's wedding. But nonetheless, for AOC, she looked pretty for her. Now she opens her mouth, AOC, not my wife, AOC opens her mouth and the beautiful stuff all goes away. But anyway, really is time to take this whole thing back, but more on that later. Here's a weird one in college football. Utah quarterback Charlie Brewer, yeah, he was a four-year starter at Baylor, transfers into Utah. He's entered the transfer portal. Now, he started the first three games for the Utes. No, this is not a play on the line from my cousin Vinny where he says, what is a Ute? No, a Utah Ute. Anyway, he was pulled in game three, which was a 33-31 triple overtime loss to San Diego State. Anyway, Texas transfer Cam Rising took over. He led them back to a deficit. They got to overtime and then lost. Nothing says team first guy like entering the transfer portal after getting pulled in one game, by the way. Anyway, transferring now leaves Brewer with another year of eligibility at a new school. These are those COVID rules, I guess. I mean, how is he a four-year starter at Baylor, starting now at Utah, and still has more eligibility left? Anyway, he's literally, does he not realize, he's literally always one play away from going back in and becoming the starter again. Literally, an injury or whatever. Anyway, if I had to guess, I'd say the coaching staff said they were going with Cam Rising from here on out. So he just wants to get visibility on the field for NFL draft possibilities. Kind of curious nonetheless. The Durham probe, remember that? I thought it would have been over by now. I thought we'd be seeing tons of stuff like, indictments. So far, what we got to show, one potential indictment. One. Former federal prosecutor Michael Sussman. If that name sounds familiar, it should be. He represented the DNC in the 2016 Russia hack of the DNC servers. Now, anyway, he's the sacrificial lamb. It's about supposedly lying to the FBI. But frankly, it's what it is. He's the sacrificial lamb if they indict him. But given that, you know, General Milli Vanilli is still chairman of the Joint Chiefs, nothing surprises me anymore, really, unless, you know, at least when it comes to the federal government and the alphabet agencies. Ohio State Reserve linebacker Dallas Gant, he's listed as a senior. He has entered his name in the transfer portal after three games. Now, he's never started a game for the Buckeyes, but he has played in all three seasons significantly, all three games this year. And let me add something here that also applies to the Charlie Brewer situation. The new redshirt rule, which applies in any year, is four games. So if you appear in less than three games, you do not lose a year of eligibility for that year. Now, you get to use that once, but you can use it your freshman year, your senior year, whenever. And as we're seeing, you know, like I said, senior year with Brewer and Gant. But entering the transfer portal alone doesn't mean player has quit the team. You know, that's up to the player and the coaches. But in this case, it means a player can be removed from scholarship after the semester, and he can be removed from team activities, meals, training access, et cetera, immediately. Now, the reason I say it doesn't necessarily mean, a couple of Hawkeyes, a couple of years ago, Caleb Shudak actually entered the transfer portal. It didn't go anywhere, so he is this year's starting kicker for the Hawkeyes. But unfortunately, he had the misfortune of kicking behind Miguel Recinos and Keith Duncan. So, yeah, I can understand. Davion Nixon, the year before, believe it or not, an All-American last year, but the year before, because of some issues, he was in the transfer portal, and thank God he stayed. But no, if they were to go to another school right now, it would be very difficult for them to play. There would have to be all kinds of waivers. But anyway, that's this week's NCAA eligibility public service announcement from Hank Jones Polysports. You are welcome. Meanwhile, at USC, quarterback Jackson Dart, he replaced three-year starter Keaton Slovis in their game against Washington State when Slovis had a neck injury. He's now listed with a knee injury. And Slovis is, again, listed as the starter. Now, interim head coach Dante Williams isn't saying anything yet about the situation, but that's the way it goes. Now, it looks like former President George W. Bush is hosting a fundraiser for beleaguered Wyoming GOP Representative Liz Cheney. Yeah, and before you all get in the lather, man, I'm big on words from the 1870s today. Anyway, don't forget, Cheney's father did serve as George W. Bush's vice president. So, you know, don't make much of that. Actually, years ago, Vito and I heard Dick Cheney speak at some luncheon for some campaigning politician. I have to say, honestly, I like Dick Cheney. I think he's sharp. I'm not a fan of his daughter abandoning President Trump, but I think Dick Cheney's basically a good guy. My only question on this fundraiser is this. Why is a fundraiser for a Wyoming representative being held in Dallas, which Vito just asked in the chat room? Seriously, attempt to pretend you're keeping it local. The last thing we need from the GOP is following the DNC playbook of funneling out-of-state money to other states. I mean, seriously, if she can't raise the money in Wyoming, maybe she should step aside as an indicator of, one, she doesn't have in-state support, and two, her opponent or opponents have statewide in-state support. Just a thought. In the NFL, don't know who's kneeling, don't care. Anyway, the Chicago Bears are going to start rookie quarterback Justin Fields this Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. Starter Andy Dalton's out with a knee injury. Head coach Matt Nagy says Dalton is the starter once he returns. We'll see about that, unless former OSU Buckeye Justin Fields completely drops the ball. This is actually kind of crucial, since after two games, the Bears currently sit in a tie for first in the NFC North with Green Bay. Odder, though, is that there are only seven undefeated teams left in the NFL after week two. Seriously, only seven after week two. Bears are tied for first after week two. That's about as good as it gets for them. I've talked about this the first year of my show, I think. Vito would probably remember this because we talked about it one time. The Bears are classic example of benefiting from the schedule. You know, unlike good teams that are good like all years, the Bears, when they get the last place schedule, they're gangbusters. They win a division title. That's why I call it, because they're due to win the division title, I think, in 2023 or 2024, because they last won, I think, in 2017 maybe, or 2018. So, yeah, they get a tougher schedule for a couple of years, and then it gradually gets worse. And then when they have the really wuss schedule for being last so often, Indy, I haven't been this pumped for the Bears since Bob Avellini. Or since we watched them at the doghouse. That was classic times. But so, yeah, the Bears are tied for the lead in the NFC North after week two. Yeah, apparently all those thousands of Haitian immigrants in danger of being deported from Del Rio, Texas border area. Yeah, fear not. According to two unnamed U.S. officials, thousands, that's how they put it, thousands have been released into the U.S., with most receiving orders to appear at immigration offices within 60 days, as doing that is less time-consuming in terms of processing by Border Patrol agents. It's less time-consuming than ordering them to appear in immigration court and then holding them. Yeah, so while DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says the border is not open and there is no problem, we know that buses are bringing many Haitians into the country, not to mention folks from Mexico and other Latin American countries. DHS is bragging that over 1,000 Haitians have been deported. The whole thing is even causing, quote, bipartisan opposition to the Biden administration. I mean, the La Dopi Nostra. Imagine that. Here's what a former Border Patrol chief had to say. He accused Mayorkas of providing factually incorrect information to Congress, letting illegal immigrants who by law should be expelled remain here. He urged top senators, including Chuckie Schumer, to request detailed information from DHS as part of their oversight responsibility. Yeah, basically this guy said, Rodney Scott's his name, he said he saw an unprecedented seismic shift in border security and immigration policy after January 20th. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris, our alleged vice president, she's angry by seeing horses at the Border Patrol. Says people shouldn't be treated that way. She thought they were whipping them. She literally thought that they were being whipped. That's what she said. The horses of the people. Oh. El Senora Hank comes through with a good one. So, yeah. I mean, this begs several questions. First, why are they not summarily being sent back? There is no way, any way, you fly, drive, swim, row, that the United States is the first asylum stop from Haiti, no matter which way you leave the island. Speaking, asylum is not an option. And guess what? Neither is climate change, disaster, or economic oppression. Plain and simple, both for the U.S. and the world at large, seeking asylum must occur at the first available stop after leaving one's country. There are reasons for it. Of course, now that Europa has become Eurabia, I mean, it doesn't obviously matter to some. Second, though, why Haitians all of a sudden? I mean, earthquakes, hurricanes, economic distress, that's been a way of life in that country since time immemorial. So why now? What has suddenly become so pressing that a sizable proportion of La Dopi Nostra thinks we need to allow refugees from Haiti, or for that matter, anywhere else? What, hurricanes in Texas and Louisiana, storms in the Northeast? Please, someone fill me in on this. Seriously, at what point do we simply admit that control and manipulation is the end game for Big Left? I mean, God. Third, though, this is a good one. Well, Indy Hawk KB asks the question, how did they get there? They didn't walk. Pressed. This is the third point. How oppressed is anyone who can make it from Haiti to the Texas-Mexico border? Seriously, how is that oppressed? How can we be allowing our media, our government, and our power-hungry psychopaths to lie to us without opposition to this fact? I'm sorry, but if you can make it from El Salvador to Houston, or from Port-au-Prince to Del Rio, and call yourself oppressed, you're expecting me to believe you made it all that way without assistance. Since I already don't believe that, we're now going to say that whatever assistance is strictly altruistic. Folks, these are, for the most part, they're passing through places that don't have much more than what these people left with. That is beyond what I'm willing to accept. I'm sorry. This is beyond outrage. What this is, frankly, is a systemic evil plan to dilute and destroy the United States of America. Look, in the face of mask mandates, vax mandates, lockdowns, and closures, the idea that we are allowing the approach to our border of thousands of quote-unquote refugees from a country that is notorious for being economically, ethically, morally, not to mention hygienically challenged, is beyond ludicrous. And no, I'm not saying they have poor hygiene. I'm saying as a country, they don't have the resource. There's no safe water there except in places where NGOs have gone in. The only explanation is what I said. It's to dilute and destroy this country. And if you look at recent numbers from Florida, where, of course, a good chunk of these folks, these oppressed folks, will invariably be sent. Democrat voter registration majority has dropped from over 700,000. Democrats outnumbered Republican registrations by over 700,000 a decade ago. Guess what? It's now 23,000. And guess what? In a state where Democrats already lose most of the statewide races, that doesn't bode well. That's why we have what we have now, refugee importation for voters. Well, no, that and Uber drivers, you know, in case the ones from Afghanistan don't pan out. God. Yeah, see, Mrs. Hanks said all her Uber drivers in Seattle were African. Haitian, too, probably. And this brings me to my rant for today. And rather than just bitch, which I can do anywhere, anytime, I'm going to actually do this with offering a solution. And I hope it actually leads to a campaign. You know, we keep hearing calls for General Milli Vanilli to resign. Not strong calls, but from certain people. For 4 years, man, we heard calls for President Trump to resign. We heard it from media, from the DNC, from Big Art. That's another factor of Big Left, Big Arts. Big entertainment, and all over social media. The difference, of course, is that President Trump literally had to fight to keep his job, let alone do it, while General Milli Vanilli is being protected by the very same people that were saying President Trump needed to resign, you know, in addition to the traitors that we're discovering that are now backing Milli Vanilli, and some that we now know undermined President Trump, not just Milli Vanilli. Look, texting back and forth with a friend of mine, Steve, the last couple of weeks, we've kind of hit on one thing. There's basically just general disregard from Big Left for our constitutional republic. Frankly, the 17th Amendment sort of knocked out that concept anyway, because when we went to popular election for U.S. senators, states' rights were eroded and we became more of a bicameral democracy than a constitutional republic. Be that as it may, theoretically, we the people are still the end-all be-all when it comes to, quote, who is in charge. So rather than just bitch, I'm going to offer this little bit of a solution. Ask them to resign. I'm going to hashtag it at some point. It's going to be hashtag ask them to resign. Now, what does that mean? Simple. 10 or 20 friends together. Find out and coordinate when your U.S. representative is in your area or your U.S. senator. Assess their performance. If they've acted constitutionally according to their oath and have, for the most part, kept to their campaign promises, fine. Thank them. You know, thank them. You'll find, of course, that too many have not followed campaign promises, have not acted in the best interest of this country, and have not followed their constitutional oath of office. On that, you act. Get together as a group. Write a letter to your representative or your senator or both asking them to resign. No, you know that's going to go nowhere, of course. So plan a group visit to their local office. And again, ask them to resign. Yes, you're going to get a gatekeeper. Of course, you probably will never see your representative or your senator. But deliver an in-person letter, a request asking them to resign. Cite the reasons. Be specific. Above all, be courteous. Don't be confrontational. Be professional. But do it. And start now. Frankly, we must start now, because when you get the runaround, we want to be able to document it, and you want to be able to show it, and then you want to be able to disseminate it wildly, widely. Look, folks, it does us no good to text each other, to gripe on Twitter and Facebook, to talk on shows like this. It does us no good if we just leave it at that. So if we all start it, we can share it, and we can disseminate it, including every Wednesday here. And if we start now and we follow through, we can share it with our neighbors and our fellow voters. We can share concrete information that tells them, no, Joe Blow is not doing a good job. And no, keeping him is not easier than giving someone new a shot. The reason I say start now, we've got from now until next November. Look, our elected government officials are elected to serve, or at least that was the original idea. For it to have become a job has been beyond detrimental to this country. Beyond. But guess what? All of us have been a big part of letting that happen. So let's start changing that, and let's start now. Okay, we're going to take a little break, little music. And it's going to be good music, because at 3-something today, autumnal equinox. It's the first day of fall. So take a quick break, a little Great Pumpkin Waltz, and we'll be back in 2 minutes and 26 seconds. That is the Great Pumpkin Waltz from Vince Guaraldi, part of It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Man, musically, that guy was just gold. Everything he did was gold. Linus and Lucy, of course, but just all that Charlie Brown music, just incredible stuff. He also did a song called Cast Your Fate to the Wind. It was actually featured in the movie Good Morning Vietnam. Good song. He also did some Beatles tunes. He did I'm a Loser. It was one that I remember him doing. Okay, we are back on Hank Jones Polysports on Global Patriot Radio here at blogtalkradio.com. 7 shows over 7 days. Great stuff. And this one's on Wednesdays. Hank Jones. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Polysports. Come in via the chat. Or, of course, call in 319-527-6706. I'm seeing some good numbers here that I'm probably gonna hit up with the ones in a little bit, because it's time. We're going to talk some college football. Yes, we are. The rankings are out, of course. For those that want to chime in, this is the time to hit that one, because I'm going to be bringing y'all in, because we got some picking to do. Not much change from last week. Alabama, Georgia, Oregon jumped up one in a poll. Oklahoma dropped one. Iowa jumped up in the coaches poll. Clemson dropped. Penn State went up four in both polls. Not sure why Penn State went up four, but they did. Folks, I got to play some quick music for a second. Just a little technical difficulty, but it was resolved. So we've got our callers in, bringing in Hawkeye Mike right now. Mike, how's it going?
Pretty good, Hank. How you doing?
Good. Bringing in Brother Tommy. No music for Brother Tommy this week. What's up?
Hey, all good. All good.
Yeah. So did you guys take much of a look at the rankings?
Yeah.
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 What do you
think? Yeah.
I mean,
I always check that out.
How does Virginia Tech at 15 lose on the road and drop completely out? Auburn drops one after losing to Penn State. You know, that's
Auburn
the one.
Auburn played a top 10 team.
Yeah, well, I agree with Tom. I watched that game. Auburn is a good team.
Yeah.
It's just not quite as good as Penn State was.
Yeah. You know, Iowa State didn't go anywhere, but they won big against UNLV. But BYU had a huge jump, too. I'm not sure why, other than, you know, who did BYU beat? They beat Arizona State.
And they also beat Utah, yeah, which was the first time they'd beat them in a long time.
Yeah, well, Utah's not doing too well right now. So Cincinnati actually dropped one in the coaches poll. I don't get that. Clemson dropped three in the AP poll. Now, granted, they didn't look that inspiring, but still. Ole Miss is another one that jumped up a bit. You know, probably because they're just scoring a lot of points. But
I think what your people just, I mean, it's just hard to get a feel for a lot of teams. It's, you know, this early in the year. I think you can make a good argument that you shouldn't have polls right away. I mean, it's all for show. You know, that's what the poll that counts doesn't come out until early November, the CFP poll. And,
right.
You know, by that time, and it makes sense because that's when you really kind of see how things are shaken out by then.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, UCLA also drops 11 spots. And Fresno State gets in. Obviously, they deserved it on that win. But, you know, that's kind of, you know. Fresno State, by the way, is the first team I've seen jump in with a loss. You know, the other ones that have jumped in, well, actually, Fresno State did jump in both. But I haven't seen anybody jump in with a loss other than them, you know. So everybody else that's in with a loss started, you know, the season in the polls. Indy Hawk's in here, too. So I'm going to ask you guys, I'll start with Tommy. What were your surprises last week? What game surprised you?
The one that surprised me the most was, and it shouldn't have, but Notre Dame-Purdue. I thought Purdue was going to give them a better game for four quarters, not just two and a half. That one surprised me. Actually, in the other sense, Florida surprised me since they almost tied the game up. And I called them, but I just did that out of strict loyalty to my boys. But those to me were probably and also I thought that they were going to win. I think Hawkeye, Mike, and I agreed on Michigan State winning. I did not think they were going to win that convincingly. And I'm just absolutely astounded so quickly on this one. The Michigan State at home against Nebraska, they're only favored by five. So something's going on there. To me, they look as good as anyone in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Indy, any surprises for you?
Alabama's close with Florida. That surprised me. It seems like the hole that Alabama and Ohio State, maybe that's relieving a little bit. I don't know. Nice to see someone come within two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't happen too often. Mike, what surprised you?
Yeah, I think, the Florida game surprised me. It makes me think maybe Alabama's human and it's beatable. But I was a little surprised that Nebraska played as tough against Oklahoma as they did. That might be part of the reason, Tom, why Michigan,
absolutely.
Why that game is pretty close. It's in Lincoln. It wouldn't shock me if Nebraska won. But I would pick Michigan State. But Michigan State also surprised me. Like Tom said, not that they won, but that they just they beat Miami almost as bad as Alabama did.
Yeah, I would say the Oklahoma game surprised me, and another one that surprised me, Minnesota Colorado.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then the other one, Indiana getting off to the lead they did, and then they lose their best defender, basically, on a targeting call, and they just absolutely went to crap. I mean, I don't get that. I don't know how that happened, but that, they I don't know. So
that to me was Wisconsin, Penn State. They shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I guess.
In other words, they didn't do anything that spectacular. They just shot themselves in the foot, the way I saw it anyways.
Right. Okay, so let's talk the Hawks. Indy, what did you see that surprised you or pleasantly surprised you? Anything?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm probably more skeptical than most on our team, but, I mean, I'm excited about how many young guys we have on the two deeps. This is unprecedented. I think I counted 10 or 11 freshmen, and our recruiting class for this year is really like in the 60s, but a lot of young guys, hopefully they can put it together. I mean, we have got to figure out, it's like, okay, we don't have to perform offensively, but we are 126th out of 130 FBS teams in offense. And I revised my prediction to 7-5, maybe 8-4. If this doesn't change, we have got to, literally have got to get better offensively.
Yeah. I don't know. Mike, what about you? Anything that you thought that was a pleasant surprise?
Nothing shocked me, I guess. I do agree with the Indy Hawk about offense has got to get better. I do think they improved. Could be caliber of the team, but they, over 400 yards, over 200 rushing, 200 passing. Petras was up like 70% completion. That's good. And one thing he has done, and I guess it bleeds into last year, the last four games of last year, no turnovers. So, you can make a good argument that with the defense we have, as long as he doesn't go in there, and Ivory Kelly Martin does a better job of ball control. I mean, of hanging on to the ball, and we don't make any mistakes on offense. We're gonna have a pretty good shot to win every game. But I do think that there was improvement on offense. And I think Kent State, by the way, is a good team, and we'll get a good gauge for that because they got to play Maryland Saturday. So we'll see how Maryland does against them. If they do better than Iowa or worse. Because Iowa plays them in about 10 days. So, but not too many surprises. I did think the offense is a little better, but I agree they need to get better. I think they will get better. Ferentz teams do tend to improve, particularly offense, as the year goes on. But they need to pick it up. Petras is still missing some stuff. That's a little bit of a concern. I was also a little bit concerned by the couple big pass plays we gave up on defense, primarily by Riley Moss. He got beat on a couple of long passes. Ferentz said it was technique, and he just screwed up. I hope it's that easy of a fix, but don't want to see that again.
Yeah. I was I was pleasantly surprised with the run game, because I think, I mean, yes, we threw, but I think this was about working on the run game. And that misdirection pitch that they run to Goodson, they did it a couple years ago against Minnesota. I friggin' love that play. If I thought it would work every play and I was the coach, I'd call that at least once a game. I just love that play. Brother Tommy, what'd you see that was a pleasant surprise? Not a disappointment, but a pleasant surprise.
Well, let me preface it by saying I echo Indy Hawks' sentiments. That was a surprise. It wasn't a surprise. I was very happy with the defense, but that's certainly not a surprise because our defense has been nothing but stellar. I'm not taken in by a 70% completion rate when the average pass was less than 6 yards. So I've got, truth be told, I have no pleasant surprises. I'm not overly discouraged, but I can't come up with one. I totally echo Indy Hawks' sentiment. And like Mike said, although that's going to be my upset of the week, I'm going to take Kent State over Maryland.
Really?
It is Kent State. Wow. Yeah,
We're not a prediction.
So you agree with me? You agree with me that Kent State's a good team?
I do. I do, absolutely. And that's why I will reiterate, it's not a surprise, but I thought our defense, and you're right, we all saw Riley Moss get burned a couple of times. But, to say the defense played great, well, that's pleasant, but it's certainly not a surprise the way our defense has been playing all year. But they played every bit as good as I thought they would, if not even a little bit better. So I guess, if someone finds our defense suspect, then it's a pleasant surprise. But offensively, I wasn't pleasantly surprised by anything. Special teams, I think we've got good special teams. So, I just can't think of anything.
Well, Tyler Goodson had a career day. He averaged 7 yards a carry. Two
400-plus yards total offense.
Yeah, but he had those two runs. Now you can sit there and say those runs added to his average. Well, guess what? You can look at it the other way. Those other runs took away from his big average. But I know some people compare him to Akram Wadley. Akram Wadley was not as fast as Tyler Goodson at the top end. Now Wadley had fast feet and he got through the hole and stuff. I think he had other certain attributes that I wish, Tyler Goodson had. But I was very impressed with Tyler Goodson. I think he's very grounded. I think
surprise.
He's very...
That's not a pleasant surprise. Tyler Goodson. He's the first team all Big Ten running back last year. We expect him to get 150 yards.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's actually been kind of quiet. It hasn't really been talked about much. But I'm just but the other thing seems to get that pass. I think maybe we're coming out of that funk. That deep pass to Reganey, I think maybe.
Yeah,
there's a couple questions. Is it the receivers not getting open, or is it Petras not seeing him, or is he not getting the protection? I mean, I think it's probably a mix of all three. But if you go
I also think they weren't pushing it against Kent State. I mean, that's the only time that I recall where they even tried to throw it down the field.
I'll throw this in a pleasant surprise. I came up with one: a 95-yard drive from the 5-yard line to a touchdown. That I take it back. Yeah. There was a pleasant surprise in the game, and that was it.
Indy Hawk, were you at the Big Ten championship game in 2015 when the Hawks were the victim of one of those kinds of drives?
What kind of question is that? Of course I was.
Well, so when you were watching that drive last Saturday, were you thinking like I was? I was thinking, God, we pull this off. Why couldn't we have done that in that game at the most crucial time rather than give up that kind of a drive? But
yeah,
to be
totally
honest,
I was sitting at a wedding checking my phone to see if you guys were texting me updates. But
last Saturday? Yeah. Well, we were texting updates. We were giving you the proper updating. Vito pointed something out in the chat room about Michigan State manhandling Miami, and it's something I mentioned, Miami being overrated. Does anybody besides me, I know Tommy and I have talked about, them being a pretender, but how long are they getting to Nebraska territory finally where they're going to, next year, they're just not going to rank them, that high because they finally figured out they're just not that good?
Yes.
Are we finally getting to that point?
Yes.
Let's hope.
Yeah, I think so, too.
In a word.
I think so, too, yeah.
Well, when's Miami been, when was the last time they were really good?
And Michigan finally this year. Now Michigan's playing great, but Michiganitis too. They did not start in the top 25 this year, nor should they have. And so
I still
want to
see them play somebody. Well, I want to see Michigan. I mean, they do look good. I want to see them play somebody though. And
well, when we get to prediction time, we'll be able to talk about that. What other games did you see where there was anything real? Like, I'm trying to think of anybody that we play coming up, and I didn't see Northwestern wasn't on. We don't play Michigan State. We don't play Michigan. I didn't see much of the Penn State game. So
played Maryland. Thursday night Illinois played.
Oh, that's
Maryland.
Right. That's right. That's right. And I watched some of
Maryland. Maryland lucky to win that one, I think.
I agree.
Penn State's 3-0 with three victories over ranked opponents. So
Penn State,
they're legit.
The
Big Ten is looking pretty good because
the Big Ten East is looking particularly brutal.
I would not be surprised if Big Ten East winner had two losses. I will not be surprised.
Who did Penn State beat in their second game, Indy?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't think that.
I don't either. It was somebody not that good, I don't think.
Right.
You know, like.
Because he said three. He said they were ranked. They were ranked. They won three ranked games. I thought their second one was a.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
it was. Ball State. It was like Ball State or somebody like that.
Right.
Ball State.
Okay. Right.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's not true.
So, okay. So of the ranked teams, you know, that we're not going to talk about. There's not much. You know, I mean, Alabama's not. You know. I'm not even sure they're playing a real opponent. I mean, I assume they are, but you never know with them. I don't see, you know, any real upsets coming up. But is there anything that's sort of, you know, other than the Notre Dame Wisconsin? Those are games we're going to talk about. So let's not get too.
Yeah, I got one for you.
Okay,
I got one for you. Keep an eye on Arkansas at Texas A&M.
Yeah,
has looked pretty good. You know, we'll see.
I thought it was in Arkansas.
Texas A&M was lucky to get by Colorado, who obviously is not. You know, Minnesota just throttled them, and you know, I think that that could be an upset alert game there.
Yeah.
Well, it's
agreed.
Only a 5-point spread. It's only a 5-point spread, and I thought it was at Arkansas.
It is at Arkansas.
No, I think it's at Texas A&M.
It's at Arkansas.
Yeah, it's at Arkansas.
Okay.
I don't know how good NC
also,
State
and
is.
Someone said Michigan
Rutgers
State.
And, how about Rutgers Michigan? And Michigan? Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that.
22-point spread.
Yeah. What about could Clemson lose at North Carolina State this weekend?
If they play like they've been playing, they could.
Yeah, and does Florida State finally win a game?
No, unless they're playing a high school team. I don't even know who they're playing, but my answer is unequivocally no.
He's down in that area. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you don't sound like that's breaking you up too much either.
Yeah, my boys go to Florida. Florida's like Iowa, Iowa State. If you go to Florida, the big joke is it doesn't matter. But anyways, no, there's no love lost between Florida and Florida State, believe me. So I just got to go with my boys.
That's huge.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to prediction time. Let's just get to it. Penn State, Villanova, Brother Tommy. Just straight up, who wins
that? Obviously Penn State. Penn State.
Yeah. Mike, I assume you're going to take Penn State?
Yeah, Penn State.
Indy?
Yep, Penn State.
Okay. T. Bodie is not in. I thought he was going to click through, but he hasn't clicked through yet. Or if he has, I haven't. He hasn't hit the one on his phone, so maybe he doesn't want to do it. I don't know. He doesn't want to play in the regular game. Yeah, he's...
Nobody mentioned
for the regular Big Ten season.
Yeah. Okay, so here's one. Minnesota Bowling Green. Brother Tommy?
Minnesota.
Mike?
Minnesota. I don't think there's an upset there.
Indy?
Yeah, Minnesota. We're not picking these against the spread straight up?
No, we're just picking them straight up. We're not even doing a competition. I'm just mocking. I'm recording it in my show notes, though. So.
Okay.
We'll start with Indy. We'll start with you. Northwestern versus Ohio University, the Bobcats versus the Wildcats.
Oh, the Wildcats. Crush them.
Yeah, that's as Mrs. Hank says that, too. Brother Tommy.
I'm half tempted, but I'll go with the Wildcats. But I'm half tempted. I hate Gerald, too. I hate all the Big Ten coaches.
Yeah. Mike?
Yeah, I think Northwestern gets back in the win column here.
Yeah. I agree. I think they're, you know, they're not that bad. But you know what? They're going to be great the day we play them.
Oh, absolutely. That's what they're playing for.
Yeah, I know. Okay,
they
Mike, you get first pick. Mike gets first pick on this game. Rutgers, Michigan.
Yeah, you know, everybody's thinking Michigan's so much improved this year, and maybe they are. I'm not saying they aren't. I'm not quite sold on them yet because they've been home for three games and they haven't really played anybody really tough. This is going to be the best team they're playing. I think Rutgers is sneaky good, and Schiano has them playing at a high level. And I'm not predicting that they'll upset, but this is going to be a close game. And if Michigan's doesn't come out ready to play, they could lose this. But I'll pick Michigan to win in a close game, but you know, I'm not secure on this one at all.
Okay.
I think Rutgers is the most improved team in the Big Ten.
Yeah. T. Bodie, by the way, has picked
Michigan State.
In the he's not chiming in, but he's chiming in the chat room. He didn't give us a pick on Penn State Villanova though, so I don't know. So he did pick
Michigan.
He did take Michigan in the, but he didn't tell us on Penn State. So,
well,
Mike, so what's your
moron? He's
Michigan in a whisker. Michigan by a whisker.
Michigan in a whisker. Okay, by a whisker. Okay, and Brother Tommy, we'll go with you next.
Agree with Mike, not by a whisker, but they don't win by as much as they should. They're favored by 22, 24, something like that. I say they win by two touchdowns.
Well,
but I agree with
Mike,
I think Rutgers the next 3 years, watch out.
The line is down to 20.
Just a minute.
The line is down to 20, but the game is in Ann Arbor. So that's
–
although I don't think Ann Arbor is that much – yeah, I don't think Ann Arbor is necessarily that kind of a – So, and Indy, how about you? Who are you going with?
Michigan 41, Rutgers 13.
Oh, you're going with points. You're even putting points on it. Okay.
Wow.
28 points. I fear Michigan is legit this year, but we'll see.
If there's a team that I think might give us trouble in the if should we get to the Big Ten championship, I really think Michigan is the one that's the most complete team in the East. I think their defense looks – now, they haven't played anybody, but their defense looks to be skilled. And that's never
more
really
than
been –
more than you think.
Yeah, I do. I just watching bits and pieces of them. And, you know, some of it – you know, some of these games I only catch, like, the Big Ten version, you know, the Big Ten in 60, and that's all I've seen of Michigan on this Northern Illinois. But – I mean, they literally scored on their first.
We'll find out for real in 2 weeks because they go to Madison in 2 weeks. First road game.
Yeah, I go 2 hours northeast, Hank. I go 2 hours northeast. I say if we play in the Big Ten championship game, it's going to be Michigan State.
Yeah, okay. Oh, well, that's, you know. I'm just saying, of the teams that we could play, I don't know how good Michigan State's defense is. I don't know how good it has to be. So, okay, Illinois-Purdue, Brother Tommy.
I was thinking about that one, and you guys know I'm an Illinois honk, but it's in West Lafayette, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not. It is. I'm going to go Purdue.
Okay. Mike?
Yeah, I have to go Purdue at home. I Illinois is just, you know, it's very, very thin, very unsteady. I'm not convinced they're really very good, so I go with Purdue.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's tough about this game. You literally, I mean, Purdue is a good team, but they're missing guys. They're missing Horvath. They're now missing David Bell.
And that's, you know, that would be like, that would literally be like the Hawks missing Goodson and Tyrone Tracy, you know, I mean, that kind of thing, you know, that's what they're missing. I don't know, you know, Illinois has been so up and down. It's just, you know, you just, it's so hard to pick, but I guess I would agree. Andy, what are you thinking?
I'm still trying to get on my feet from Tommy not picking Illinois. I'm going to go Purdue 23-20.
Okay. Okay. Who is it that said Maryland, Kent State? Is it Brother Tommy? Are you the one that said?
Yeah, that's my upset of the week. I figure you want to make it lively every once in a while, so I'm going to pick an upset every week. That's my upset.
Okay. Well, you know, you have that right.
I told you guys last week when you laughed at me that Nebraska was going to give Oklahoma a game. You both laughed at me. I told you Florida was going to give Bama a game. You both laughed at me.
I didn't laugh about Florida-Bama. I knew that was going to happen because Florida's got the athletes. Mike, what do you think in this game? You agreeing with Brother Tommy or are you?
I don't have a good feel for Maryland, but I mean they seem to be pretty good, and I'll give them the edge over Kent State. I think it'll be a good game though. I thought Kent State looked like a pretty good team, but I'll go with Maryland.
Okay, Andy.
Maryland by at least two touchdowns and sets up. I believe the Hawks have them next, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
T. Bodie is also he's jumping on the Tommy bandwagon, so he's going Kent State. Okay,
got a lot of Kent State love here.
here's the game that's another one that's tough, and you look at the line as we talked about, and you kind of wonder about it, which is Michigan State, Nebraska. It's in East Lansing, but it's only 5 points.
Who's going first?
Well, because of the way my thing sets up, because it's like in a Word document, if I don't have you go first and go in order, everything gets skewed. So, I mean, for instance,
so
you might end
first?
Up Yeah, you're going first.
All right, this is the deal. I'm going to say Michigan State, but I will tell you this, having lost lots and lots of money on betting sports, this line is creepy as fuck. This line should be 16 points, Michigan State. It's 5 points for a reason. Unfortunately, I don't know that reason, unless maybe the Michigan State team got in a plane accident on the way home, and now they're bringing
out
Julian.
What did the guy say in that? What did Joe Pesci's character say in Casino? He knew which quarterback was on coke. You know, I think
there's something here. There's something rotten in Denver.
Yeah.
That should be a 16-point spread minimum. In East Lansing. It should be a 12-point spread in
Nebraska.
In Lincoln.
No, it's in East Lansing. Spartan Stadium. I'm looking
Are
at the
sure
thing.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mike, you got to start looking. The team in the back is the one that's
all right.
Always home.
I could have sworn it was in Lincoln. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's right. Okay.
No, I'm going to say Michigan State. Hell, I got them winning the East, but I cannot explain this line. Thank God I don't have a bookie because I would pull every little I have and it would be all over them. And as we both know, I would end up losing it. So thank God I don't have a bookie, but I do not understand this spread, but I'm still going Michigan State.
Okay. Mike.
Yeah, you're right. I was wrong on that. It is at Michigan State and that makes it easy. Look, I do think Michigan State's tough and that was an impressive win. You know, Miami may have been overrated, but they still beat the hell out of them. I think Nebraska's a decent team, but Michigan State's going to win.
Okay. Indy.
Is Frost still at Nebraska? Michigan State by 50.
No. T-Bodie's got Michigan State as well. So, okay. This should be an easy one, but I'm going to check the line on it first without telling you which game it is. Okay, where is this game? It's they're playing. I mean, they're playing, so how come I'm not finding it? It's not a night game, or maybe it is. It is a night game.
I'll tell
you,
what do you
want
to know?
Okay, the spread is 49.5. Ohio State, Akron. Brother Tommy.
I'm all over Akron this week.
We're not betting against
joke,
the spread.
Fella. Yeah, with 49
okay.
and a half, yeah.
It's a joke, fellas. Yes.
I know. So you're gonna pick. You're gonna pick the Buckeyes, I assume.
Yeah. That was good assumption.
I know, Mike. I assume the same for you.
Yeah. Well, Ohio State will win 49-7, so the Zips will cover the spread.
Well, yeah, that's too bad. But Indy.
You know, I love the Zips, but I think Ohio State covers on this. Have you heard about this Trayvon Henderson?
Brooks? Yeah.
Freshman will always want to back, yeah.
Archie Griffin, 1972.
How can he hold a record that long with the running backs that they've had there? I mean, they've had such great running backs. Yeah, I just found out, too, that was Archie Griffin's freshman record. I'm like, really? Wow. I mean, they've had some damn good running backs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. Okay, Brother Tommy, Indiana, Western Kentucky. Don't know the line. Don't care.
Yeah.
Not
going to
look it up.
I tell you what, this is one where I actually knew a guy, played with a guy in basketball that was a quarterback that set a ton of records at Western Kentucky. In the past, I would say Western Kentucky because of Indiana, but I'm going to go Indiana.
Okay. Just so you know, the spread is 9. It's at Western Kentucky, though. So you got to give them.
That's what I'm saying. I could almost, if I didn't already have my upset of the week, I would consider this one for it. But no, I'm going to go with Indiana.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah, I think Indiana's going to get back on track. As long as McFadden doesn't get ejected, I think they'll pull it out.
Oh, does he miss the first half?
No, because I think he got ejected in the first half. But I'm pretty sure
he misses the second half. Okay. And right. Indy, what about you?
I'm going Indiana. That ejection was bogus.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought it was kind of Mickey Mouse. Yeah.
They've got to change that rule.
Iowa, Colorado State.
I'm consistently up first, right? I don't want to interrupt. Iowa.
Okay, I shouldn't even be asking across the board. I should be putting in Iowa across the board here.
Yeah, I'm not going to jinx it. Every time I say Iowa, they've
won. I'm not going to go Colorado State, don't worry.
Okay, next one. We got
Although
three more
they,
games.
Gave, they gave Toledo
if
a better
I did
game
that,
than
I'd be splitting my wrists at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, but
wait a minute.
Toledo
I didn't
a better
that.
Game than Notre Dame did.
Indy, who's your
I'm taking Colorado State. No, I'm just kidding. But you got to pick. You got to let me check, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you got to pick.
Spread?
I'm sorry.
What's the spread on that.
The Hawks start to put it together this week. Okay. Get it rolling.
Yeah.
Big win.
I hear you.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
22.
Yeah, it is. It's 23 now.
I think I take Iowa with 23. I think they win big. Colorado State is not as good as Kent State. Not. I don't think anywhere close. They lost to South Dakota State first game of the year.
But they gave, like I said, they gave Toledo a better game than Notre Dame did.
Yeah, you know, we're going to get into that. If we're going to get into that commutative property stuff or transitive property or whatever, we're going to have.
Transitive property.
Well,
I'll comment on
Notre Dame a little bit in the upcoming game that we'll have to pick.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the next one we get to pick. Iowa State at Baylor. Undefeated
Iowa
Baylor,
State.
By the way. But Iowa State
Iowa
is a seven-point favorite.
Iowa State.
Iowa State. Mrs. Hank picks Baylor, by
the
way.
They're the real deal. I'll
go with the clones on this. I don't know too much about how Baylor is this year. I don't think they're particularly good. But, Iowa State got things kind of back on track against UNLV. And they have a legit defense. I mean, I think we knew that from the game, from the Iowa game. And I think that Purdy seemed to be pretty steady last week. I think the Cyclones could have a good year still.
I agree.
Game would be the big one.
Yep. Indy, how about you?
I disagree. Baylor rolls.
Baylor rolls. Indy going with Baylor. And
well, that's an upset. Yeah.
T Bodie is taking Iowa State, but barely. Okay. Texas, Arkansas.
Arkansas.
This is the game.
Well, no,
this
Texas
is
isn't playing Arkansas. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry.
Arkansas
Texas A&M. Texas A&M. Arkansas.
Right.
Sorry.
Yes, I'm going with Arkansas, another upset, but not that big of an upset. I think it's only like a 7-point spread, but I'm going Arkansas.
Where's that? Why am I not seeing that game? Oh, it's because it's a 2:30 game. Okay. Spread is Texas A&M 5.5, so you're going with Arkansas.
I am.
Okay, Mike. Mike, you there? Did we lose Mike?
Evidently.
Evidently.
Unless he's whispering. Unless he's whispering.
No. I don't know. He's still it says a call has dropped, so he'll have to he may have had it.
Maybe that St. Bernard of his bit him in the nuggets or something. I just went out of the text. He's got a St. Bernard. Someone says he's got a St. Bernard.
Yeah, yeah. T. Bodie said he had a St. Bernard. So, well, his call dropped. So something he could have had a charging issue or whatever. I'll get it separately. Andy, what are you saying? Arkansas or A&M?
Well, you already have Texas in the SEC, obviously. So, I'm going to go A&M, but it's not Texas. It's A&M.
I know. I corrected it. I corrected it.
I know.
I think I corrected it, actually. But.
Okay. Okay. Mike's back.
Yeah, not sure
Mike,
what
you
happened there?
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, your A&M Arkansas pick is up.
Yeah, I think that's my upset pick of the week, Arkansas to pull the upset on Texas A&M.
Okay. So it's two of you. Indy's going with A&M. T. Bodie is going with Arkansas as well. Wow. We're getting some interesting stuff here. Okay. And we come to the game of the week because it doesn't have any bearing on the standings for the Hawks, but I think it tells us we'll see a little more about what we're playing in a few, down the road. It's Wisconsin-Notre Dame. The game is in Chicago, I assume, Soldier Field.
Yeah.
I hope it's not
at Soldier Field, yes. It is
and I don't know what the line is, or I'll sound like Michael Corleone in Godfather 2. I don't know the line. I don't know how they're playing.
Wisconsin anywhere from 5 to 5.5 to 4.5.
Yeah, 6.5 for Wisconsin because they're the home team. But I can't believe that there won't be more Notre Dame fans in the stands.
Well, they're not the home team. It's a neutral field, and they're actually closer. Notre Dame people are closer to Soldier Field than Wisconsin.
That's
they're
what I'm saying. That's why I don't. That's why I don't get the 6.5.
Yeah, the three.
I just don't get the
6.5 point rule does not apply. The 3-point rule does not apply.
Which makes the 6.5 even stranger. This
not
is
to me.
There's several
not to
interesting.
Me. I'm all over
several,
Wisconsin.
Several interesting factors. One, Wisconsin's leading rusher coming into the game has less yards than Tyler Goodson, which in and of itself isn't, but I mean, usually at this point, 3 games into a season, or they've only played 2 games, that's why, but usually 2 games into a season, the Wisconsin leading rusher already has 712 yards, I mean, so that's obviously
about 100 yards a game.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What you want.
No,
he
but I'm saying
100 yards a game.
No, this guy's only played 2 games. I forgot Wisconsin was off last week, so.
Yes,
but I mean,
correct.
Usually, even so, I mean, Wisconsin's leading rusher coming into game three usually has 6 or 7. I mean, they
a thousand yards.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't get it. The other thing, of course, former Wisconsin quarterback Jack Cohn is now the starting quarterback for Notre Dame. So that's, I just don't get the 6.5 points is all. I mean,
I think it's a perfect line. I think it should be closer to eight.
Well,
Wisconsin's that much of a favorite.
Hey, Roman, what's that?
I'd say you really think Wisconsin's that much of a – that's pretty prohibitive favorite.
I think they're going to win by 11. Yeah, I think
so. You're taking – Brother Tommy's taking Wisconsin. How about you, Mike?
Big time.
I'm not as secure as Tom is on this one. I think it's going to be close, but I do give the edge to Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's going to pull the upset here. Notre Dame has not impressed me. They were lucky to beat Toledo. They were, Purdue, I don't know about how good Purdue is, to be blunt. I think they're okay, but Notre Dame, they're going to have to show me a little bit. I think Wisconsin wins it.
Indy.
I'm going out on that limb again. I'm going Wisconsin by 17. They own the offense and defensive line, and they have a quarterback. I really like Graham Mertz. So I think they're pretty good.
You really so
17 would
Graham
not
Mertz
surprise me.
Mertz did not look good against Iowa at the end of the year. I'll have to say that, but you know, we'll see. And you
he'd
know
he'd gone through COVID. I think you throw everything out from last year, but he didn't look all that great against Penn State.
Right. Well, they had like three times inside the 20 and got buffers or something. I mean, they really kind of gave that game away.
Yeah.
But Penn State stay around and then lost.
PPF or PFF ratings, I saw that on Big Ten quarterbacks. Believe it or not, Wirtz is below Pekus, believe it or not.
Is he really?
The thing I saw on the Hawkeye report,
Pro Football Focus. Yeah.
Yeah, PFF. Their ratings have Wirtz below, surprisingly, and there again, everything is turnovers, as Mike has pointed out, which is true. That's going to really up a quarterback's number. But surprisingly, Petrus was like 8, something like that. I would have guessed he was 14, but no. And Wirtz was below him.
Yeah. He says, Mertz had a really good game last week.
Who'd they play? Who'd they play 2 weeks ago?
Back on track.
Who'd they play in their second game? Who did Wisconsin play in their second game?
I don't remember. I'm guessing it was a nobody. Yeah, right. It was the directional.
Yeah, it was like a Mac team, I think.
I'm just not sold on him. I mean, you remember last year, Cone was hurt, and so Mertz took over and. Then, of course, the whole team got COVID. They missed games and stuff. But Mertz took over, and then Cone just left, up and left, like midway through the season, and then ends up at Notre Dame. I haven't seen Cone. I mean, the only extent of Notre Dame stuff I saw, I didn't watch much of the Purdue, a couple plays, but I saw a lot of the Florida State, and it shocked me how what I thought, I would say, ineffective he was. I just don't, you know, for Notre Dame. You know, so I'm not shocked that he lost the starting job. But Mertz last year, I thought just, you know, after a brilliant start against Illinois, I think it was, just didn't do much after that. I mean, I just don't, you know.
But I think you're absolutely right in saying we can't extrapolate anything from last year.
No,
Minnesota,
we can't. You're right.
Look at Michigan, they had 3 wins. I mean, last year is just such an aberration that you can't expect anything from that.
Yeah, so. Okay, guys. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for this week. I know I set the thing for 2 hours, but that's just so that in case we ever run over. But we got our picks in. So, what do we need to look for? What are we looking for, Indy? What are you looking for this week? What do you want the Hawks to do? You said this is where the Hawks break out, but what specifically are you looking for?
They should take a step forward, dominate. You know, the season starts. Next week we're playing, you know, Maryland, so we got to get it together here quickly because we are a bad offense right now.
Okay.
And we probably will do that. I don't like hearing Petrus. Is it Petrus or Petrus?
Petrus. I mean, I've heard Petrus, both. Petrus. So.
Right. So I hate
Petrus
it when they say, well, he's young. He's, you know, he's in his fourth year. He's fourth year. He should have the grasp of the offense. And I know what worries me is when they're calling him out on the telecast where he's throwing short and he had a guy at the second level, you know, open for 25, 30 yards. But, I'm behind the Hawks, so I'm hoping he puts it together. He certainly has the arm talent.
Yeah. Brother Tommy, what are you looking for? What do you want us to do?
Two things. I want, kind of echoing what Indy Hawk just said, I want us to go vertical in the passing game. No more of this 3 yard outs when it's third and 5, 3 yard outs, none of that. I want to go vertical, work on the vertical passing game, number one. And number two, find a way where we can run between the tackles. That's what's killing Goodson. If we can start running between the tackles, that's just only going to open him up even more. Linebackers are going to have to clap in the middle, as will DBs and stuff. So I want two things, vertical passing game, and I want to be able to run between the tackles. If we do both of those things, I think we'll be all set for Maryland.
Okay, Mike, what are you hoping to see?
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything Tom or Indy Hawk said. I'm not quite as pessimistic on the offense. I think that they obviously need to pick things up and Petras in particular needs to get better. I think he will. I think this game, you know, they got 400 yards plus against Penn State. They'll do better even against Colorado State. So this is a chance to kind of work on some things, air things out, get a little more confidence going into the Maryland game.
Okay. Okay. I'm looking for downfield. What I would like to see us do more is throw on first down. I don't know why we're not doing more of that.
That makes the run game go, because they're going to be boxing the run on every until we show we can throw the ball consistently.
Exactly.
It almost makes you think we're tipping plays off the way, you know, just like we run on first down, we get 2 yards for second and long. It seems like a pattern, but I don't know. If we run that stretch, we should be getting 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah, well, I would also like to, you know, if we're going to throw on first down and not be successful, I would rather see us run on second down versus too often we're throwing on second down as well. There just seems to be some inconsistency still, and I know it's not. You know, we're frustrated partly because some of, you know, we're used to seeing, remember the 1980s Hawks, but, you know, different times, different teams. But I just, I don't know. Like what Tommy said, some of these Greg Davis part two, you know, I mean, I thought we had gotten rid of that. And I get the horizontal passing game when you're using your running backs, but the only way we're using our running backs in the horizontal passing game is as safety valve stuff. Well, guess what? Every team can play that because every team figures out how to play that. I would just like to see. Now we did run a couple tunnel screens to Tracy. I like that. If we run that misdirection pitch to Goodson, I'm all over that. I'll kiss Brian Ferentz's feet every time if that play gets run and we succeed. But I just would like to see us mix up. I mean, I think we show tendencies way too often. Now, Mike, you said last week, for better or for worse, this is what you get with Kirk Ferentz. And you know, it's usually been for better, but man, I think we need, you know, we're going to get into a Big Ten schedule.
I don't blame Petras for everything. I think there's been some real conservative play calling by both the Ferentz's father and son, and they got to get a little more imaginative.
When you're playing Kent State and when you're playing Colorado State, that's when you do it. One thing I will say history does suggest to me, because I used to always say, oh, well, they're just holding back for the big games. No. And then the big games come, and they do the exact same thing. They don't – I'm telling you, they're showing the playbook. And I know it's all about execution, but in the past, I was never changed things up, except maybe with the exception of the Ohio State game, never really changed things up. And that's what frightens me, and that's where I'm kind of on Indy Hawks' page about, guys, you got one more game. That's – let's start doing it.
Yeah,
I agree with
Hank 100%. One thing that never came up. Okay, really quick, I want to mention one thing that came up, which was so asinine last week. They did that stupid fake punt after taking a 5-yard penalty on 4th and 4. What the hell was that?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to interject on that real quick. And this is where I take my hat off to Kirk Ferentz. I saw it today on his press conference. They asked him what that was all about, and he didn't use the following phraseology, but the sentiment was there. He said, "I fucked up. It was a stupid." He owned it. He's like, "It was stupid.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done it." Because I'm like you, Hawkeye Mike. I'm like, "What the hell is that all about?" But he owned it. He owned it. He says, "It's on me. It's on me." And in retrospect, it was the dumbest thing he really owned it. To his defense, and I'm not a Kirk Ferentz. I don't pander to Kirk Ferentz. In fact, I'm more negative than most are, but I will say I was proud of him today. He owned it.
Yeah,
the one thing to consider is if you look at the college football playoff teams, it's a different game than it was 20 years ago. So, you know, Mac Jones, 77%, 72%. You know, the worst was, what's the Heisman guy's name, Clemson?
68%. Trevor Lawrence.
We're sitting here at 57. On 3rd and 3, you got to get that every time. I mean, we have got to be way better. 65 is the low bar in today's game, but I don't know.
Yeah.
He's got to be better than we are.
Hey, Hank, can I throw something out real quick? It'll only take like 3 minutes.
Go for it.
I said it's going to be a fluid thing, but I say we all come up with what It's going to be fluid. This week's going to be different than next week and the week after. But I say we all give our real quick four teams that are going to make the college football playoffs as of today.
Go ahead. You pick your first.
Okay, I'll go Alabama. Obviously,
ooh,
I'm going to do this out of emotion.
Brother Tommy, edgy.
Ah, is that brave or what? I'm going to go Alabama.
Okay.
I'm going to stick with, I used to say Ohio State. I'm going to be emotional here. Iowa. And I'm going to go Oregon, and I'm going to go Georgia. Two SEC teams.
Mike.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm going to go, well, I'll go Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, and I'm going to say Iowa, not because I really think they're a playoff team yet. I don't. But they're number five. Until they lose, I'm going to pick them to be in the college playoff.
Okay,
Indy.
Indy.
I don't want to answer because you're going to tell me that I'm just going with the top picks, but I actually think it's going to be Bama, Georgia, Oregon, and OSU. But I hope the Hawks are in there.
Okay.
Well, OSU's not a top pick, so that's a brave pick, OSU.
Well, they've been there every
remember,
other year.
Remember, they can only get one more
loss.
They got to run it now.
Yeah.
They got to run
it.
Yeah.
I think there might be two teams from the SEC, but I think the other one's going to be Florida. I think Florida beats Georgia. Georgia's defense is great,
ooh,
but their offense is not great. It's okay, but it's not to the level of Florida. And Florida's defense is just as good. I mean, you know, you think about it, you know, we're all talking about how they kept it close, but here's the other thing. Florida holding Alabama to 31 points. I mean, what's the last team that did that? You know,
the
I
problem
mean,
with your thing, and I think it's great.
After
the
being
problem
after
is
spotting them 21-3.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
The problem with your thing, though, Hank. The problem with your thing is, are they going to let a two-loss SEC team in? In other words, if Florida plays Bama in the championship game, that's going to give them a second loss. I'm looking
if they,
at
no,
Georgia
I'm saying,
going,
I'm saying, I think they win. I think they win out.
They beat. Okay, yeah, no, that's a good pick. I mean, they got to believe they can beat them. They almost did. Of course, that was at home. But yeah, no,
right.
I think that's a good. All right, wait, you said Bama. Or, you know, you went Florida. What are the other ones?
I'm going Florida, Bama, Oregon, and Michigan State.
Florida,
right now. That's
Florida,
who I think right
Michigan
now.
State. No, I think they're all fair picks.
So T. Bodie says Alabama, Georgia, Penn State, and Oregon. And with that gentleman, we are out. I have got to run. I've got an errand to do, so to speak. And then we will be back next week, of course, folks, and we will have more picks, obviously. So thanks, everyone,
cool,
for being here. T. Bodie and Indy Hawk and Vito in the chat room and Mike and Tommy and Indy Hawk on the phones and Big Sister and T. Bodie also on the phones. There's a couple others I didn't get there. I didn't recognize the numbers, but thank them for also being here. Folks, have a great week. Go Hawks this weekend. I want to thank Mrs. Hank for being here, of course, and the little Aussie. And, guys, we'll talk next week. And, of course, we'll be
on
the
have a great
this
week.
Weekend. Yep.
Go
we'll
Hawks.
Chat this
you
weekend.
Have a great
go
week.
Hawks.
Yep.
Okay, folks, thanks, everyone, for being here. As I said, come to the end of the show, and we are out. So y'all have a good week. As I said before, pray for some of our friends that we've talked about. Sue and G-Ski and Annie, be in prayer for them and for anyone else that you know that needs prayers. Folks, have a great week, and we will be here next week at 5:30. Adios.